welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start in a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." I so love this passage of Scripture and how it's beautifully put together, because as we see, the Scripture lets us know right off the bat, we don't know everything. And on this side of glory, by design, we're not going to know everything. The Apostle Paul himself, and this is the guy that penned half the New Testament, he said, "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we're going to see face to face." In other words, you're going to have some questions in the here and now. You won't have all the answers. You know, the Lord told me once when I was just kind of going through some why God stuff and different things, and he said, "Well, you know, Ed, sometimes the answers are going to be in the part that you know now. Sometimes the answer to your question might be in the part that's yet to come." And so, we don't always have all the answers and all the situations and all the circumstances of life, and we all experience different things that can kind of leave us asking ourselves why. But here's the beautiful conclusion of the matter. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So when I'm dealing with my inadequacy of knowledge, not always knowing, not always understanding, not knowing whether the understanding or the part that I'm going to know is in the part that's now or the part to come, I can always know that regardless of what I know or don't know, now abides faith, hope, and love. These are now. And when we're going through stuff sometimes, especially as it relates to things we don't know, we got to realize that faith, hope, and love are here for us right now to get us through stuff, to get us through the part that we don't always know. And it abides right now. We do live in a world, you know, that can be critical, it can be jaded, and, you know, when it comes to things like this, faith, hope, and love, but when we are people of faith, we're children of God, holding on to promises of God, these words are more than just words. There is a depth to these words, faith, hope, and love, that get us through the here and now. And as we look at these three words, faith, hope, and love, I want to look at that middle one, hope, highlighted in green there. That is a powerful word right there that can get us through today, that can get us through the things that we're going through in life and things that we may not always understand. But why is it important? Hope remains. Regardless of what I know or what I don't know, hope is here. And sometimes when it comes to hope, we can play games with that. And almost, you know, we live in a world that will say, don't get your hopes up. But we're called to hope. Hope is something that remains. Hope is something in the now, regardless of what I know or don't know. And as we're looking this morning, you know, at faith, hope, and love, I want us to really take on that word hope. And I want us to really look at that word in a way that we understand that we can always hope. We never have to give up hope. Sometimes we'll manage our expectations in a way that we don't have permission to hope. If we ever do that, we really wind up in a place of hopelessness in the name of managing our expectations. But as believers, we're called to hope, to not give up hope. This morning, I want to look at that. Permission to hope again. Because as we're going through things, a lot of times, we're going through things we don't understand. We're going through things that maybe break our heart. We're going through some of those dark times. A lot of times, there is an internal negotiation that goes on right there. And we're negotiating within ourselves as to whether we're going to hope again or not. And the message this morning is, I don't care where you're at, I don't care where you're coming from, what you're going through, I just want you to see and know in your heart this morning that you have permission to hope again. You have permission to hope again. You know, Bob was here last week and he did a wonderful message on hope. And he kind of used that word hope as an acronym, you know, healing over past events, H-O-P-E. And I so appreciated even the way he was ministering, just connecting with people on where they're at and where their faith is at. It's like, what can you believe? And so many times it comes down to that permission to hope again. And as we're looking this morning at, you know what I'm just calling permission to hope again this morning, there's a couple sides to this. There's a couple aspects. As we put ourselves out there to go someplace. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope represents what you can see, what you're willing to see and look at and believe that this is what's going to happen. This is how things are going to turn out. This is the hope, the expectation. It's allowing the eyes of your understanding to see something that you can't see with your natural eyes. It's a vulnerability. It's a trust to hope. And again, when we get into some things and we get hurt and things happen, you know, again, we can begin that internal battle, that internal negotiation. Can I hope again? And I'm just praying that this will be a message that can minister to you today and one you can hold on to. And remember that you have permission to hope again. And as we look at that, we're going to first look at this side of it, receiving God's permission to hope again. Permission to hope again, first and foremost, comes from God. God gives us that permission. Whether we feel like we want to hope again or not, that's secondary. Something to realize that hope remains right alongside faith. And right alongside love, hope is right there. It remains. The scripture says this as it relates to defining God's love. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears, love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Amplified says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything. Hope is a quality of God's love. It's a quality of God's love for us. You know, we're singing this morning, oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And wherever we might be in our spiritual journey as we're singing that, the love that he has for us is fadeless under all circumstances. That's how he loves you. His love for you is fadeless in no matter what you're going through. But you don't know this hour, this circumstance. I can tell you one thing about God's love for you. His hope is fadeless for you no matter where you are in your journey. And I so love this. You can see within the very definition of love that we are given permission to hope. I remember is at a funeral of a loved one, and we didn't really quite know where this person stood with the Lord. You know, sometimes you know, sometimes you don't always know. And so it was a situation where I was just asking the Lord, you know, we're going to have a service for this person, and I just don't know where they really stood with the Lord. I don't know how I'm supposed to, what my posture is supposed to be emotionally and spiritually in the situation, because I just didn't know, you know. And I remember going to sleep that night, it was the night before the funeral, just asking, Lord, what do I believe? You know, the person could have received, person had a lot of truth sowed into them, they could have cried out to the Lord, you know, before they passed or not, but nobody was there, we just don't know. And so I just remember going to bed that night with that heart cry and then waking up the next morning and the Lord just putting that scripture in my heart. Ed, love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. I don't know. I only know in part, right? But hope remains. And it was like the Lord said, you have permission to hope all things. You can hope. Do I know all things? No. But love hopes all. I love that person. And my love for that person, my posture, is I hope. I hope the best. I hope. So even though I don't know, man, there's a place of hope. And I've had the Lord bring that back to me. Different situations, different things. To just realize that I have permission to hope. I might not know, but even though I don't know, I can hope, because that's what love does. That's what God's love does for us, and when we walk in God's love, that's what we can do for other people. We can hope. We can hope the best. And so we're talking about permission to hope again. We just got to realize in the very character, the very nature of God's love, that's what he does. He hopes all things. When I'm coming to believe God for something again, can I hope all over again? Yeah. Hopes all things, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's why love never fails. It never gives up. It just endures everything. And so when we're talking about permission to hope again, can I? Yes, we have God's permission to hope again. That's the nature of his kindness and his love for us. Also, not only the evidence of God's love, but God's possibilities. Now, there was a situation where a father had a son who was epileptic and, you know, just really had under the influence of a demon spirit, really. And so the disciples tried to get him delivered, but they couldn't get him delivered. And I'm so glad the father didn't come to the conclusion that it wasn't God's will for him to not be delivered. But the father went to Jesus. And Jesus asked the father at this point, he said, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, well, from childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What I so love about this true story that happened is that you've got somebody who's desperate, a father in his love for his child, and he's crying out, God, help me, help me. And it's easy for a preacher on a Sunday morning to theorize about how wonderful and powerful God is and how little and weak we are, and according to our spiritual calculations, God can do anything. That's one thing. It's another thing when God becomes flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and looks a father in the eye and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. God takes that paradigm, comes to our earth and says, I can do all things to him who believes. It's God's proposition to us personally. He says, if you can believe, and the father wonderfully cries out in humility, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's where we are many times with different things. Lord, I believe. I want to trust. Help my unbelief. You see that his posture is to believe. It's not a hopelessness. There's a hope there. And that's a powerful, it's a powerful permission that we have to believe. Why could I believe? Well, love believes all things. Love hopes all things. That's just what love does. So when it comes, you know, for me negotiating, am I going to hope again here? Yeah, I have permission to hope again. Love hopes all things. Not only that, but with God, all things are possible. It's not just a matter of that's what love does, but it's really possible. Jesus has told us in no uncertain terms, whatever it is that you're hoping for, it's possible with God. Possible to him who believes. And then, finally, there's God's promise. This is another story. This is the story of Abraham. And he had a promise that God gave him that he was going to have a child someday. And, you know, he was glad for that promise. It wasn't coming to pass. And he's kind of playing that game of hope too. I mean, Abraham's right there kind of internalizing, am I going to hope here, or how am I going to hope, or how is this going to work out? You know, I've been believing, I've been trusting, but nothing's happening. And Abram, this is before he was Abraham, he was Abram before God changed his name, but Abram replied, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my own servants will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." I love this. When it comes to hope, yeah, we have permission to hope because that's what hope does. All things are possible. But then there's something else. There's a promise that God gives us to hold on to. You think Abraham. Now, when Abraham received the promise, he was 75 years old. By the time Isaac was actually born, he's nearly 100 years old, 25 years. But he held on. Faith and patience. And as he's talking out with God, as he's negotiating with God, he's saying, you know, when you said that I will be the father of many nations, because obviously I can't have a child in of myself, me and Sarah, obviously it must be one of my servants or somebody, you know, that's, you know, will be my heir, and then that person kind of in my name will do all that. He began to negotiate in his own mind, you know, in a way that he wouldn't have to hope anymore, that it was going to be his own offspring. And then God says, no, there's going to be a child who's going to come from your own body. I know you can't understand that, but that's what's going to happen. And then I love how it says, then God brought him outside and said, now look at the heaven, look at the stars. And he gave him a visual of the promise. And then Abraham, I'm sure every time he saw those stars, he saw descendants. He saw a promise. He had a visual of the promise. He saw something. And when we're talking about hope and we're talking about promises and things like that, it is important to see how God gives us permission to believe. He gives us things to hold on to. He gives us things to trust, something solid from his word. I'll tell you what, talking about just hope, we'll bring it back. You know, we're getting ready for the big games today, I know. We've got the AFC, NFC championship things going on, seeing who's going to go to the Super Bowl and all that stuff. There's a lot of excitement over that. You know, and as you guys know, I'm a kind of a broken-hearted Miami Dolphin fan that hasn't been there for 30 years, hasn't won it for over 50 years, and it's like hoping. And it's like negotiating like that guy. Can I hope again? Can I hope again for next year? Well, a funny thing happened this offseason. We got the Green Bay Packers vice president of player personnel, and we got the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator. And I was listening to those guys in a press conference, and I always thought, you know, those Green Bay Packers, they're so lucky. They always have a good quarterback, generation after generation. And as I'm listening to those guys, I realize they're not lucky. They're smart. They're brilliant. They're planners. They're disciplined. And all of a sudden, for the first time in many years, I had hope. Something solid began to rise up in me. And thinking, you know what? And as they're citing Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson and that strategy, and you know, just like, wow, this is real. There's something substantive here. You know, and as I'm listening to them, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? It might not be just pretty next year, but there's something that's building here. There's something solid. I had really a sense of that. And again, here I am, 30 years since we've been there, over 50 years, really 25 years since we've even won a playoff game. This is a long drought. But it's amazing how when you get something that's of substance, you got something to trust in. There's something solid and of substance. Well, if a Miami Dolphin fan can do that, oh, here, over the Green Bay Packer, granted, we'll be the Miami Packers for a few years here, but it's something that you can literally have hope and realize that things can turn around and change. I'll tell you what, when you begin to look at hope, it's not just in the Word of God. There are promises in the Word of God. There are exceedingly great and precious promises that we've been given in the Word of God that we can hold on to when it comes to healing, when it comes to provision, when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to the things in our life, something we can hold on to. You can see how even Abraham, it says, I know you gave me that promise that I'm going to be the father of many nations, but I'm not seeing how it can happen. He's wavering a little bit. And then God says, nope. He says, this is going to come from your body. It's going to come from you. What am I saying all this? I'm just saying, as we're negotiating internally, it's just important to realize God gives us permission to hope. He gives us those promises. It's part of his nature. It's part of who he is. Love hopes all things. I have permission to hope again. With him, all things are possible. And there's promises. On the Godward side, I have permission to hope. He's made the ability, the opportunity to hope again available, no matter what I'm going through. When we're talking about permission to hope. But I really want to get to this other side, which is so important. There's receiving God's permission to hope again, but there's also giving yourself permission to hope again. Okay? This is the other side of that. Because when it comes to permission to hope again, we need both of these. We need to realize that God's given us permission. He's just waiting on us to hope again. And as we're in that place, as we're kind of in that internalizing place of, am I going to hope in God again? We need to realize there's reasons we can hope again. Reasons we can give ourselves to have permission to hope again. Not just the amazing permission that God gives us, but there's some powerful things we need to reflect on as well too. Here's the psalmist, he's saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Put my hope in God. Why are you cast down? He's talking to his own soul. Here's a guy who knows God. Here's a guy who knows the promises of God, but now he's talking to himself. He knows what God can do. He knows what God has done, but he's having to convince himself to hope in God. He's having to convince himself to hope in God again. He's internalizing in a way that he's trying to give himself permission to hope in God again when you're going through stuff. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. And here is such a powerful, wonderful truth in the way we can begin to give ourselves permission to hope again as we're going through things. Remember, I know in part. I don't know everything. I don't see everything. But three things remain now: faith, hope, and love. Hope is now. Hope is going to get me through the time from what I don't know to when I know fully. This is part of it. And it's saying, okay, I have permission to hope. How did the psalmist do it? He said, but I will remember you. I think Jody was talking about it too, just that spiritual growth chart. Remembering things that God has brought you through. Remembering things that God has delivered you from. There is such a power in that. And here's a wonderful psalm in connection with this that they would recite. The Jewish people in remembering their God. This is Psalm 136, just a segment of it. It's a huge psalm, and it's got the same ending in almost every verse. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His love, his faithful love endures forever. He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. He led Israel safely through. His faithful love endures forever. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. What are they doing? They're just recounting where they've been. They're remembering. They're remembering things. They're stirring up something in themselves to give themselves permission to hope again. The same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who's still with me. He's the same one. This is where you're taking the concept of God's faithfulness and personalizing it. So you give yourself permission. And that's what they did. That's a powerful thing that we can do. Has God ever forgiven you sins before? Have you ever had shame and then not had that shame anymore? Have you ever had a lack and a need met? Have you ever had a brokenness in your body healed? Have you ever had no wisdom and all of a sudden, that's exactly what I need to do? Have you ever experienced something of God? What did the psalmist say? I will remember you. There's an important thing in going back and remembering the things that God has done to stir up, to give yourself permission to hope again. You know, when it comes to healing, I will never forget being in the doctor's office. My mom had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and, you know, she was given like a, oh man, what was it, a 10, 20% chance to live past 5 years because it had infiltrated like 80% of her nodes or something like whatever that is. And so the prognosis was horrible. Well, she lived past those 5 years. And, you know, we were praying and believing and so glad and thankful. And then all of a sudden, you know, probably about a few years after that, it had come back. And I remember being in the doctor's office and looking at the scans of her liver and her lungs and just like seeing things and going, wow. You know, you see cancer on a liver and just seeing it invading or spots on lungs. And it's like, you know, I remember just even driving back and just kind of like being, you know, just a little spaced out, you know, because you look at something like that and you're going, oh, you know, I know what I believe. I know what I believe. And I was so grateful. I remember as I was driving back to Door County, my pastor called me on the phone and he just was asking me how I was doing. He knew what I was going through. He said, well, I just want to agree with you. I just want to pray with you. And I just remember him praying with me over the phone about healing, things I knew, things I believed. But my head was kind of in a different spot. And he just began to pray, and he began to speak in faith. And I just remember my heart going, that's true. That's right. That's good. And just beginning to get in faith again. And all of a sudden, it was just stirring up faith. And just by the time, you know, we said amen and got off the phone, it was like, I was in a whole other place. It's like, I believe, I remember he is true. He is right. That is his word. And it was amazing just how, you know, we just pray for wisdom and grace and all that in her treatments and different things like that. But we were just standing in faith for her healing. And it was like 6 months later, they had to do another scan to just check on the, you know, where things are at. And we could actually see all that cancer began calcifying on her liver and dissipating. And the spots that were on her lungs were gone. And she lived, from the time she got that original diagnosis, another 18 years. You know, it was amazing. I'll never forget that. I was in the doctor's office when I saw the cancer strong, and I was in the doctor's office when I saw it calcify. Never forget that. I'll hold on to that. Have you ever had a victory? You can hold on. There have been some times where I've had, you know, some things where you look at certain victories and say, that's just God. It's important for you to know what your Red Sea splitting episodes were. And to be able to go back to there and say, his faithful love endures forever. These are different for all of us. But this is a part of where you give yourself permission to hope again. Where you can go back and say, he did it here, he did it there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is that psalmist going? I mean, he's in a dark place. He says, now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. From that place of deep discouragement, choosing to remember. Choosing to remember the goodness of God. Choosing to remembrance. Choosing to remember his deliverance. So there's a remembering of God's love in a way that's personal. Remembering God's possibilities. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, he is all powerful. He can do all things. With God, nothing is impossible. According to the power that works in us. That's important. You know, in Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul prayed. He said, Father, I pray that you would grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward them as believers. They would see it in a personal way. Kind of comes along here in Ephesians 3 and says, he's able to do it according to the power that works in us. What are we talking about? We're talking about permission to believe in a personal way. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. He is able to deliver. Philippians 1, this is kind of where Paul comes to this conclusion. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It's almost like this conclusion you can come to. You can do all things. You can forgive all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so as I'm taking inventory of whether I can hope again, I got to realize it's not just me out there twisting in the wind trying to hope again. I'm in Christ. And his power is in me. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can. Can I ask it? Can I think it? Well, that's something that can be done. He can do things beyond what I would even ask or think. I know. You got to remember, three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. These three things are what's getting us through this dimly lit existence that we have right now until we know all things. We don't see everything. This is our air traffic controller. This is guiding us because we can't see with our natural eyes. Hope is a big one. I can't see. I don't understand everything, but I know that the power of God is in me. And he's able to do it through the power of God that is in me, anything that I could ask or think. Now, this is important because as we look at this and we think, and this is where we just got to come back to the fact that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, there was a time when I think of just his ability to bring things to pass, his ability to just cause things, sometimes just to work together for the good. When we were going through some things, I've related this before, but when we were at Rhema, Julie and I, we'd had a miscarriage in our second year at Rhema, and it was really a hard thing. You know, we were all excited. And then we'd had a second miscarriage shortly after that. And it was like, as sad as the first one was, the second one was really hard, you know, because it's like, okay, we didn't do everything right. We dot our I's, cross our T's, and It's like, oh man, now I got to get this figured out. But you know, didn't happen. And I remember being in one of these places where it's like, I don't know if I can hope again. You know, it's like, can I do this again? And we were at Rhema Student Housing. I'll never forget it. We were just in a little, I was in a little prayer couch that we had, and just kind of at the corner of that thing and just looking at it. And I was just reading right out of Philippians 4:6, where the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Just let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Think on things that are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. That passage, I was just right there in my devotion time. And I just remember saying, Lord, just kind of having that negotiation time. And the Lord just said to me, you know, that peace that passes understanding. He said, I want to know why. And the Lord just spoke so clearly. He said, Ed, if you want my peace that passes your understanding, then you got to want my peace more than the understanding. You got to desire my peace. You got to let my peace rule. It's okay to ask why. It's okay to question. It's okay to, you know, let your request be made known unto me. But then you got to let that peace of God rule. And I remember there was just a point where I realized, even in getting my hopes up, that it wasn't necessarily a point where I'm all emotionally revved up or excited or expectant in an emotional sense, as far as my hope goes. I could hope again in a way that I'm just letting the peace of God rule. There's a rest in that hope. It's not a strong emotional thing that I put on the line. It's like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. Things I don't know. But I can pray about it, and I got a promise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and mind. So I say, Lord, show us. Give us wisdom. Give us guidance. And, you know, for us, it turned out to be like a bacterial virus thing type thing, and we were able to take some antibiotics, and that cleared it up. It was amazing. But we didn't know at the time. In fact, if God would have told me the reason, I wouldn't have even had the vocabulary to know. I would have thought he was speaking in tongues. It was some word that I didn't even never hear of, some medical term. But I just knew that I prayed. I knew that I had peace. I knew that I could trust, and I could listen, and just say, okay, Lord, here we go again. We're going to trust you again. We know that you are with us, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We believe, we know, Lord, that that your promises are true, that they are true yesterday, today, and forever. And as we look at that aspect of it, remembering God's promise, we got to come full circle back to this. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Remember this when you're negotiating with yourself in terms of giving yourself permission to hope again. Again, whatever this could be, whether it's hope again for healing, whether it's for a provision, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an opportunity, permission to hope again, or something that you're going to put yourself out there for and trust God. He is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. I love how it says, God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know how God is for us? He's for us in a way that he also lives to make intercession for us. As I'm negotiating whether I'm going to hope again, I like to have this picture in my mind. Whatever I decide, I know one thing. He is right now interceding on my behalf. Somebody who's interceding on your behalf is somebody who hasn't given up hope for you. Have you ever been that person, interceding on somebody else's behalf? Why? Because you're hoping all things, aren't you? In the face of what it looks like they're at the state that they're in, you're still hoping all things. That's what love does. That's what God does with us. I see him. As I'm negotiating, I see him interceding for me. I see that he's still for me. Beautifully summed up in this way. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is such a beautiful reminder that no matter what it is that we're going through, there's a love. When the scripture says it can't separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, it can't separate us from the fact that he is hoping all things for us, still in the face of calamity, in the face of trouble, persecution, hunger, destitute. Man, none of those things can get in the way. And I love, again, just the song we were singing, oh, how he loves us, letting that love of God in, letting that love of God into those places of trouble, calamity, persecution. Those are the places that we need to know he still loves us. He's still for us. I want to conclude with the scripture. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When you look at the statements in green, that's our part. When you look at the I wills in yellow, that's his part. It's amazing how simple our part is and all the heavy lifting he does with his part. What am I doing? I'm giving myself permission to hope again. I'm just setting my love upon him. There's a promise that I have. He'll deliver me. He'll set me on high. I'm going to call on his name. He'll answer. He'll be with me in trouble, deliver me, honor me, satisfy me. Long life, show me his salvation. This is where it's important when, again, we're negotiating to hope again, to keep it really simple. Keep it really, really simple. Because when we get in those situations where we don't know, we don't understand, those are the things that can get really complicated, complex, different things like that. And this is how God will get us through. He'll get us around situations by just coming to him, saying, Lord, I don't, there's so much I don't, I just love you. I love how the scripture says, just come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. Just come to his love. I like to use the analogy of our little dog, Sam, years back, where we'd have our backyard. We'd have one pole in the backyard. He just, you know, one pole, that's it. The whole backyard, open, free, green grass flowing, can run around. He'd be on his chain, but then he'd go and he'd just somehow figure out that to get around that one pole. And of course, he couldn't get back in the house because it just wasn't, we didn't have a leash that long. And so he would just be out there barking, 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 because he's stuck. And you know what? That's good. He barked. He realized he didn't know what to do next, and so he barked. He was calling upon me, right? And I came and I looked at him and I'm looking at that dog. He's just around one pole and it's like, wow. You just want to say, just, you know, you're just so close. And he's looking at me like, this is the most amazing, complicated thing. I'm stuck and I need deliverance. It's like, oh, wow, you know. And so I would just do what I do, you know. It's like literally if this is, you know, a pole that he went outside, let him out, and he goes around here, and he's looking at me from here. And that's it. Checkmate for him. And so, you know, I could have drawn him a diagram and showed him. He would have just, he wouldn't have even looked at it. Just overwhelming. But what I could do, what he would respond to, is I'd come out to him. You know, he's standing there, and I'd say, come here, Sammy boy. Oh, you're such a good boy. And he'd just wag his tail and come to me. Say, come here, Sammy boy. Come on, you can do it, buddy. Oh, you're such a good boy. Say, come here, Sammy boy. Oh, yeah, I know. And then I just walk in, he'd follow me right into the house. And it's like, my master has delivered me again. You know, I'm brilliant. See, I'm incredible. And all he was doing is he was just coming to my love. He was just believing. Oh, he's such a good boy. Now, when we are barking in prayer to the Lord over our impossible situation, which I'm sure he's never seen before, you know, and we're saying, help, we realize, man, you know what he calls us to do so many times? Set your love on me. Come to the throne of grace. Come into my presence, and I'll show you what to do next. Come into my presence. Come to my throne of grace, and you'll get another sense of what to do next. Step by step by step. I'm just remembering his love. I'm coming. My part is setting my love on him and calling upon him. It's relationship. I'm not delivering myself. You know, he's with me in trouble. You know, Sam's in trouble right here. I'm with him in trouble. And as I'm coming to the throne of grace, his presence is with me in trouble, whatever that is. And as I'm walking through this, I'm just remembering his promise. You know, I might have a real complicated situation here, but I know what I can do. I can set my love on him. I got permission to hope again because I can come into his presence. I can receive forgiveness. You know, I'll tell you what, when you're here, even though Sam wasn't delivered yet fully, he was still wagging his tail when he came to me. Why? Because he had fellowship with me. Still not totally back in the house yet, but there was joy in just that fellowship. There's something bigger than our deliverance. It's setting our love on him and not letting that hopelessness separate us from that walk and that sweet fellowship and coming to the throne of grace again. Because that's where we find our answer. That's where we find our hope. So when we're talking about permission to hope again, there's really two sides. We could say that the receiving is kind of the technical side. All right? We've got permission. The Word of God has said love hopes all things. That's just what love does. So we've got God's permission. All things are possible with him. So that ability is there. And there's promises, like he gave to Abraham. He's given us promises that we can look up in the Word of God. And so we see from the God side, he totally gives us permission to hope again. Then when we come over to our side, knowing our theology and what we believe about God, then, like the psalmist says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. That's where we have to remember, where God has split the Red Sea. Remember those things that he's done. Give ourselves permission to realize the same God that did that in my life can continue to do amazing things in my life. That not only is he with God, all things are possible, but that power works in me. The Holy Spirit, who's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth, the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. That's why I can forgive all things, through the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm not alone as I'm going through things. And just to realize that this is possible because of the power that's in me. And then just to realize that there's promises that we can hold on to. The simplicity of those promises, not to complicate them. You know, Abraham wanted to complicate the promise of God to be a father of many nations. Well, according to my calculations, it's going to be this way. God says, no, it's as simple as it looks. You and Sarah are going to bear that child. It's going to come from your body. It's not going to be some indirect allegorical thing. It's real. So God keeps it simple. He says, yep, just come to my throne of grace. I love you. Just set your love on me, and I'll take you step by step. But I'll be with you in trouble, and I'll just take you around this thing, and I'll show you. And then when you walk in that deliverance, you know, in a sense, you never stopped walking. It's when you just start that trust again, that step-by-step throne of grace journey. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you this morning that we have permission. We have permission to hope again. And I just pray, Lord, this morning, wherever we may be at, all of our situations, our circumstances, Lord, we know that there's things we know, there's things we don't know, and there's things we won't know until we go home to be with you someday. But in the meantime, we have hope, faith, hope, and love. Go ahead and make this declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give me permission to hope again. I choose to hope again. Thank you for your love, that you're with me in trouble, that you're the one who delivers me. I don't have to deliver myself. I just have to come to the throne of grace. and receive your mercy and receive your grace to help. I'm here, Lord. I'm at your throne of grace. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace to help. I receive your wisdom and your direction. And I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I choose to hope again because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, just those two aspects. We kind of know our theology. We know the amazing things that God can do and all that. And we need to remind ourselves of that because that is the basis. God gives us permission to hope again. But then, like that psalmist, sometimes we got to talk to our own soul and give ourselves permission to hope again and realize that, yeah, he's split some Red Seas in my life. He's done some things, undeniable. Got to remember that and let myself go there to see things, see breakthroughs. Amen. Praise God.